Okay, Rabosai, today's daf in Masechet Kiddushin brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh is daf Chof Aleph. And we're going to start right now from the beginning of the Sugya on daf Chof Amud Beis. And before we do that, I want you to open up your trusty Chumashim and let's take a look at the various parashiyot so that we will understand how they all interrelate. I want you to please take a look at the end of Parshas Bahar, starting from Chof Hei, Vayikra Chof Hei, the Goyim's Chof Hei, Yudalad, which is basically Sheni in Bahar. So that's where we start, and we've already looked at some of the diukim in this, because we spoke about Rov Hashanim, At Hashanim, we spoke about that yesterday. So, starting from Sheni, V'chitin Kerumim Karla Amitecha, Okonomi Ad Amitecha, Altomui Et Achiv, B'mispar Shanim Achar HaYovel Tiknemi Et Amitecha, B'mispar Shnei Tvuot Im Kolach. So, first of all, this means that the years of the Kinyan, of a Soda that you sell, it has to be years of Tvuah. If they don't grow, then that's not included in the two basic years, because it uses the word shnei tevuot, and therefore you cannot sell for less than that amount of time. So if during those first 2 years you try to buy it back, the guy can say, you don't have any right to buy it back, I haven't yet had it for 2 years. Okay. And then yesterday we were derish, the Rov Shanim, At Hashanim, we had the machlokes of what exactly that means, whether his value goes up, his value goes down, v'loto no yishtamito. And then we continue on to Ki yamuch achicha umachar me'achuzato. Now this is Revi. Here we're talking about the mechira of a field which is part of your own achuza. And the halacha here is that it introduces a new concept. Yeah, just a minute ago, we spoke about the buying it back yourself. But here's a new concept. That a relative can also redeem it. Now, here's the important words that we're going to be very makbid on. If a person doesn't have someone to do the geula for him, and he now gets enough money, and he is matza kedei geulato. Now, the word kedei geulato means he found enough money to buy it back. That means that he bought the whole thing back. Seems to imply he can't buy it back partially. Furthermore, it says that he was matza kedei geulato. Could that include he borrows money? Or does he have to actually get the money himself? He siga yado, it says. He himself manages to make that money. So then, v'chishavet shnei mimkaro, v'yishivet ha'odef, l'isha shemacharlo, v'shav l'achuzato. You prorate it, you give whatever amount is left, and then you go back to your own field. But how about if you did not make enough money, lo matzayado dei heishivlo, you didn't have sufficient to give it back, v'ya mimkaro, v'yad hakoneoto, then it has to remain in that guy's hand, achnat hayovel. Fine. Next parsha. So again, what have we spoken about so far? Mechira of de achuza, or mechira of any soda. Then we've got to ish ki imkor beit moshav yir choma, special new halacha, if the house is in a city that had a choma at the time of Knesset Laaretz, then the din is yamim tiegulato. It's exactly the opposite of what we just learned. When you sold the steachuza, you had to sell it for a minimum of 2 years. But when you sell a bayit, bebat bit, or a choma, you're selling it for a maximum of 1 year. So it's literally the opposite. If you make enough money to buy it back within that first year, you've got exactly 1 year. So then if you make enough money, fine. But if not, v'im lo yigael ad melot oshanat mima, now becomes 100% forever the achuza of the person who bought it. Okay, so the next sugya is, after mechirat steachuza, is the sugya of mechirat beit moshav yir choma. What about if it's just a regular house and it's not in an ir choma? So, bate ha-chatzirim, asher ein lehem choma saviv, al stei ha-aretz yechashev, that is the equivalent of selling a field. Geula tiyelo, there should be a din of geula, uvayovel yetze. Next parsha that's nogea as. V'chi yamul chachicha imach v'nim karlach, this is the case of an Eved Ivri who is now sold to you, kisachir ketoshav, and then the question is there any geula? Doesn't say that there's geula bekrovim at all. Not a word. Then it says, if you want a real eved that you can work him to the bone, buy a goy. And then itnachaltem otam livnechem achareichem. We darshened this already before. There is a din of nachala, but only on an Eved Knani. There is no din of Nachala on an Eved Ivri, other than if it's a male, then the son of the owner actually does get a right if he isn't a Nirtza, but not any other relatives. Remember, this is all we did last week. Not any other relatives, not the daughter, not any other, not a brother, and so on and so forth. If it was a Ritzia, then nobody gets that right. Next parsha is the kinyan of an Eved Ivri by a goy or by the church. So we had Ola Eker Mishpachat Ger. There we suddenly get the din of Acharei Nimkar Geulati Elo Echad Miachav Yigaleinu. It doesn't say anything like that in a case where a person sells himself or was sold to a Jew. But if he was sold to a goy, then it says, O dodo, o vendodo yigalenu, o misha'er besaro, mi mishpachto yigalenu, o hisiga yado v'nig'al. We darshened all of those psukim, remember, as well. Three different levels. One was a relative. One was he makes enough money himself. And one was somebody external, a random person. That was a big machlokas, whether we darish the pasuk and on the before, or we tarsh the pasuk on the after. And we also had, of course, that mikra and nidrash, both the fanav and laharav. And we also had the diuk of Rebbe, that im lo yigael be'ele, which means he learned that this is dafka in this case. But in another case where you were sold to a Jew, we don't have this particular option of geulas krovi. So there again, we have this halachim od rabot bashanim lafiem yashiv gilato mikesev bikato. That's what we learned last night. Im maat nishar bashanim achnat hayovel v'chishavlo kefi shanav yashiv et gulato v'im lo yigael be'ele v'yatsa b'shnat hayovel hu uvanav imo. So we need to figure out in all of these cases. Let's go over those cases again. The mechira to a hedyot of a stei achuzah. The mechira to anyone of a bayit bebeit moshav ir choma, the din of the selling a Jew to another Jew, the din of selling the case where the Jew was sold to a goy or to the church. In all of those cases, we need to figure out whether you can buy things back in part, whether you can borrow money to buy it back. So that is the question of goel chatzain. The question of, is there geulat krovim? And one additional case, and for this we have to go to the end of Bechukotai, in which we have, at the very end, and this is Chav Zayin of the Goyim's count, in a pasuk, Het Zayin. Now, this is a new halacha. Somebody doesn't sell his stei achuzah, he's magdish his stei achuzah. So then the Torah gives a very strange din. We don't look at the actual value of the sada. We have a predefined value of any sada, doesn't matter how good it is, as long as it's agricultural land, that the din of a stei achuzah is similar to the concept of arachin of a person. And just like a person is assigned a value according to his age and sex, And Sada is assigned a value, and that value is Zerach Chomer Seorim B'chamishim Shekel Kesev. Each Zerach Chomer, we won't go into the details here, this is an Erech and Sugya, is worth 50 shekel for the entire period of the Yovel. So if it's from the period, so then if you right away at the beginning of Yovel, right after Yovel, your Magdish Sadeu, that's what it's worth for you to buy it back. V'imachra Yovel Yagdish Sadeu, v'chishav lo ha-kohen et ha-kesev al-pi ha-shanim ha-natorot, ha-chnat ha-yovel. So then we prorate it, you pay Hegdish a prorated amount, and now here's the problem. What happens if you didn't have money and you were not part of the Sadeh? And the Gizbar said, look, we're not interested in having this Sada. I'm going to sell it to someone else because you can't afford to buy it. So then we have a terrible situation because v'im lo yigal et ha-sadeh, v'imachar et ha-sadeh le'ish acher, lo yigal od. So if the Gizbar sold it to someone else, or it was in the Rishus of Hegdish at the time that the next Yovo comes, v'haya ha-sadeh b'tzeto b'yovel kodesh l'adunai kistei acherem, so now that gives us yet another case where we have to figure out if someone was Magdish Asada, does he have the right to buy it back from Hegdish piecemeal? Question which we called Goel Lechatzaim. Does he have the right to borrow money and use the borrowed funds to buy it back? Well, it doesn't say anything over here about Hisiga Yado. And you'll notice that what it does say is v'im go'ol yig'al et ha-sadeh. Huh. What's the double lashon of v'im go'ol yig'al? Seems to be giving us additional opportunities, doesn't it? Because it's adding an additional level of geula. So we've got all of these cases. Mocher shtei achuza, magdish shtei achuza. Mocher bayit b'beit moshav yir choma. Mocher atzmo li'yisrael. Mocher atzmo to a goy or to the church. What is the din in all of these cases? Is he goel chatzaim? Is he love the goel? And do we have a din of geulat krovim? And now we know exactly what we're talking about. We want to know everything about these halachas and get them absolutely clear in our mind, which means we can now begin. Okay. So let us start from one line down into the big lines on Chaf Amud Beis. And here we start with the simple case that we had already. And we spoke about a lot of this yesterday. And what we'd like to know is a little bit more. What about an Evet Ivri who was Nimkar lo Oved Kochavik? Now we know that it does say over there that relatives can come, but what about if he himself wants to buy himself back partially? Nig'al chatzain o eno nig'al chatzain. So can he buy himself back partially? So then that would mean that you would now be free at the end of, let's say you buy back 2 years out of the six, you will now be free at the end of 4 years. And this would go through at this moment, so that we've now changed the terms of your avodas. Or would it be basically a plan, a prepayment plan? But that would mean you could give the guy money, obviously, but he'll put it away in an account for you. When you finally get enough money, then you could buy yourself back. The practical difference is enormous because remember, there's a big difference according to the value at the time that you're paying. Because as we learned last night, sometimes the value goes according to the higher value, if that was what the higher value was at the time that you were bought, and that was mikesev miknato, and sometimes the value might change and it's a higher value of kefishanav. So it'll make a big difference if you bought yourself back now partially, or if it was just deposited in an account, then it's not going to help you because if the price changes, guy's going to say, well, there ain't enough in your account anymore for you to buy yourself back. Or maybe it'll be the opposite. Maybe he'll say, oh, now you only have to pay me less because the price went down. We're going to take a look at all of those possibilities. But this is our first question. And here's why I'm not sure, says Rav Huna Bar Chinina. Because it does say the Lashon of Geulato in both cases, both by Shtei Achuza, So over there, it uses the Lashon specifically, umatzah, kidei geulato. And when it comes to the din of a Eved Ivri, it says, yashiv geulato. Now, by the Eved Ivri, it doesn't say that he needs to have enough. It doesn't say umatzah kidei geulato. It just says yashiv geulato. So the question is, do we say that just like by the steyachuz, as we just look together ourselves into the pasuk, and the din over there is, it says matzah kidei geulato. You have to find enough money to pay for the whole thing, and you cannot come and say, well, I want to buy back half. So then, since it uses the same lashon of geulato by Eved Ivri, so then it would be the same halacha over there. Af hainami, eino nigala chatzain. Odilma, or maybe we should say that this halacha of mechza, lekula amrina, lekula lo amrina, that you can only do a partial geula where it's going to be a kula for him and not where it's going to be a chumra for him. Now, we know, but we'll go into it in detail, but we know when that would be. There are times when it's a kula, when times when it's a chumra. The Gemara is going to talk it out, but obviously that refers to times where his value changed. And so the question is, if he gets himself into trouble by buying himself partially back, and now he's got to pay a higher amount because of that, would we still say that the purchase of partial purchase was valuable? We'll see about that in a minute. Let's hold off on understanding that. So Omar Leh says Rav Sheshes to him, I don't understand. When it came to the halacha in that case, so we said before, that if somebody stole money, and now remember that's what it's talking about over here, because it says v'nimkarloch. Nimkarloch means somebody sold it to you. Who was able to sell you an Eved? Only Bezdin. So that would mean that if he stole money, the Bezdin would be selling. Now the v'nimkarloch, we darshan before, that v'nimkarloch meant, this we just did on Friday, that v'nimkarloch meant that only if he is worth the full amount and not just part of it. So in other words, if the idea is that he's going to be overvalued, he stole 500 and he was worth 1,000, we don't sell him. Why? Because we don't sell by halves. We only sell by wholes. That's how you understand the word v'nimkar. Well, so then the same thing would be true about v'nigal. So achinami, nigal kulo v'lo chetzio. It should be exactly the same thing, right? If v'nimkar means all or nothing, then the opposite word, which is v'nigal, should also mean all or nothing. It's basically one pasuk after the other, v'nimkar and v'nigal. Omar Abaye. So let me explain what the question was. If the din is that a person can be nigal l'chatzoyin, and we wanted to know whether that's dafka l'kula or whether it's also l'chumra, can I explain to you, please, says Abaye, where would it be l'chumra, where would it be l'kula? So here would be the case. If we're ready to say that a person can actually repurchase himself in part, so here would be sometimes a kula and sometimes a chumra. Where is it l'kula? So let's say the original purchase price was $100. This guy was able to pay back 50. And now he has a half term to work. So he's only got 3 years to work, okay? Then he goes up in value and he's developed all those big muscles. Now he's ready to be sold for 200. Huh. So now if the original purchase worked, so then that would mean that all that is owed at this point for him to go free would be half what his current value is. So he would pay that. You paid the 50 originally. That was half of the value at the time. And that means he's only left with 3 years. Now he's worth 200. Well, he only has to buy a payout of what's left. Well, okay, so that's a kula. Now, on the other hand, if you would have said in that case, but that money was not able to buy him out, he was enig al chatzain. So in that case, the money that he gave him was not money that reduced the time at all. It was nothing but a trust fund, right? I was putting the money as his master. When you get enough money together, my dear friend, we'll let you go. Meanwhile, we'll put it in the bank for you. So then it doesn't achieve anything. So now if he goes up, he would now owe the higher price. And let's say if he's now 200 and he now comes and gets the money the next day, so he would have to pay according to that, which would mean he would have to pay the total value of another 150. He paid 50, now he owes 150. But wait a minute, hold on. This whole question is ridiculous. I thought you said that if the value changes, he always goes according to the lower value. Now you're saying you're taking for granted that he's going to have to pay the higher value. What happened to what we learned yesterday? That's a good point. But what we're talking about over here, if he ended up being worth more, we take a look at the original purchase price. Yes. But in this case, we're talking about what happened was that the price was originally 200. Then it went down to 100. He comes along on the day that it went down to 200 and he pays half of that because he's only got 50 towards half of his repurchase, right? Guys, you got to get in here. I'm not seeing you and therefore I cannot tell whether you fell asleep. So Dr. Barry, as far as I know, you're fast asleep. Same thing is true of Richie, Moshe Andel, Moshe Wilshinsky. What the heck is going on? Mordechai and your kids. I don't understand what's happening. And what's with the lion cub? Is he at the wheel? Is his eyes closed at the wheel? That's down straight out dangerous, for heaven's sakes. And where's the Rebbe? What's going on with you guys? This is a serious sugya. I got to be able to poke you if you're sleeping. All right, there we go. Okay. So the answer is the price went down and then it went back up again. So now, if on the day that the price went down, he was able to repurchase himself at a lower price and he pays 50, if that reduced his term to 3 years, so now he's in luck because he was able to buy himself back at a lower price. But if that was just deposited in an account and now the price goes back up and we're still having to pay according to the miknato, because of miknato, which is a higher value, he is going to have to now buy out the rest of himself. And okay, if he was managed to buy out half, that's great. But if he didn't manage to buy out half, it was only in a trust fund, he's going to have to pay the whole value if it went back up the next day. So he's going to owe the full 200. He's going to have to pay another 150. Okay, now let me show you a case as a buyer where if we allow you to do geula lechatzain, you're going to come out worse. In this case, you would come out better. Here's a case where you'll come out worse. Let's say like this. He was worth 200. He then gets 100, gives the guy 100. That's his, we're imagining this is on the same day, right? So that way we avoid the prorating issue. He gives the guy 100. So now he's cut out half of his term. That's Malgay Adam. Now his value goes down and he's only 100. So now, if that purchase was chal, oh, heck, he bought himself back at the higher price. So then, if you're going to say nigal chatzain, in order to finish up, he's going to now give another 50. But if you hold that money was only on deposit in a trust fund, and now his value has gone down, so now it turns out that he already paid for the whole thing, because now that trust fund is enough to cover his full value at his lower value. So he would be in better shape if the halakha was that it was a trust fund and not a repurchase. Okay, that's what we meant. So now you understand why we wanted to know if it goes lekula maybe only because we had the din of lekula before or not. And there's another question where this is nogea the same issue. How about if you sell your house in a Beit Arei Choma? I want to know whether there you'd be able to be goy lechatzoyin or eina niga lechatzoyin. What am I basing it on? The same question. That word, geulato, which appears in stei achuza and appears also over here in the case of yamim tiye geulato, you have exactly 1 year. Use the same language of geulato. Now, we know that it's a given that a stei achuza definitely cannot be partially nigal, right? Because it says umatza kidei geulato. So therefore, maybe we should say like this: just like a stei achuza cannot be nigal lechatzoyin, So too, the same word is like a gzeira shava. Tosfos says it's not a true gzeira shava, because if it were, we wouldn't have any question. We're stuck with ein gzeira shava levechza and so on. But since we find the same concept of kidei geula, of geulato, but not kidei geulato, maybe we should learn one from the other. Just like a steachuz is an all or nothing deal, so too, either you can afford to buy your house back during that year, or you can't. But you can't come along and give him a partial buyback. That's no go. He has a right to refuse that. And therefore, the house of the Yir Chuma eino nigal lechatzai. Or maybe we should say, the Torah specifically says, umatzah kidei geulato by stei achuza. It does not say those words in the case of the Beit Arechoma. The conspicuous not saying those words means that indeed it's a completely different halacha, and that over there you would be able to buy things back partially. So, Reb Shesha said, I can tell you a solution. Mibidrasho she Rabbi Shimon, from the way that Rabbi Shimon explained things, I will answer the questions that were raised over here, and I will tell you that the din is, you're loveh, you're allowed to borrow money, and you can be poda that house. And when it comes to the din of the stei achuza, what was the halacha over there? Oh, you couldn't borrow money. Why not? Because it says, v'sigayado, you made enough money. That means that you can't borrow it. Anybody can borrow. That's not called hisigayado. So even though the din over there is, so let's start to get clear now. We have one case when it comes to fields, and there the Torah specified. No partial geula, eino goel chatzayim, no borrowing money for geula. That's the given case. Now we find the same language of geulato that is found by Batei Arechayim, and that we're talking about the geulato also of the Eved Ivri, we were asking. Well, I'm going to explain to you, based on Rabbi Shimon's drasha, how that would apply to the other case, okay? And I'm going to prove to you that you actually can borrow money, and you can actually buy back part of your house, even though it says otherwise, by the Mechira of the Stei Achuza. How do I know that? Well, let's take a look at the final case. What was the final case in Vayikra? The very end of Bechukotai. It was talking about a case of somebody who is Magdish Sedei Achuza. Remember? What did it say over there? Oh, we talked about those words. Im go'ol yig'al. Now, what's that extra go'ol yig'al coming to tell me? That's adding a new type of ge'ula that was not available to you before. Aha. So, therefore, since it says over there, im go'ol yig'al, that teaches you that you are extra special lenient with the guy. He can borrow money if he wants to, and he can be go'el l'chatzayin if he wants to. Melamed sheloveh v'go'el v'go'el l'chatzayin. And now here's the beautiful drush of Rabbi Shimon. Remember that Rabbi Shimon is Doresh Taima Dekra. Rabbi Shimon says the understanding of the rationale of a pasuk is a basis of how to apply the pasuk. Now, this is amazing, because if we look at the rationale that Rabbi Shimon applies here, this is how he understands it. And he says, look, let me explain to you why, when it comes to buying back your field, a stei achuza that you sold, over there, you're not allowed to borrow money to buy it back. And over there, you're not allowed to buy it back in pieces. And how come over here, when you're magdish your field, you are allowed to borrow money and you are allowed to buy it back in pieces? I'm sorry I keep repeating myself, but I feel the more we restate the dinim, the clearer it will be in each category. And since it's a little bit confusing, the words geula are used in all of the cases, and the cases are so subtly different that I'm being a little bit wordy. Please be merciful me, but hopefully it will penetrate our thick skulls, including my own, if we repeat it often enough. So, matam. So Rabbi Shimon says, let's analyze the rationale for this. Look, a mocher sedei achuza, Yipekocho, the Torah actually is giving him special rights It's giving him the ability to get his field back, no matter what. If he doesn't do anything and he waits till Yovel, he gets his field back. Imi Gia Yovel, and he hadn't been able to buy it back, it goes back to him anyway, right? So therefore, here's what I think the rationale is. The Torah says he's going to get it back anyway, okay? He sold his field. So why in the world should we make it easy for him to buy his field back? I mean, that's part of selling things, buying and selling. You sell, so you've accepted the fact that you can't go back and say, I changed my mind. So why in the world should we give him the rights to buy his field back if at least, I mean, I understand if he can make it all back and he can smoothly repurchase, but the guy's going to start coming, oh, I managed to get a mortgage. Oh, man, get out of here. So fine, I'm not going to give you those kind of rights. So therefore, he's able to get it back. He can't borrow money to do the gula, and he can't buy it back in part. He'll just have to wait to Yovel. What about the case of Amagdish? Oh my gosh, he's in big trouble. Over there, if he doesn't buy it back, he's kaput. He's never going to get his field back. And therefore, since Amagdish Hurakocho is in bad shape, because Imi Higia Yovel, Velo Nigala, he's never going to get it back. It's going to go out to the Kohanim. So because of that, the Torah gives him extra rights. Im Go'ol Yigal, listen, if the guy borrows money, he should be able to buy it back. If the guy partially wants to buy it back, at least let him get back some of it, because the Torah does not want him to be losing his stay achuza. That's the logic. Now, if that's the logic, then the rationale would apply also to a mocher b'ayit b'batei arei chometz, says Reb Sheshes. Ah, this is actually where it all comes together. Someone who sells a house in a Beit Arei Choma, what's the din? He's in bad shape. Hurakocho, because at the end of the year, he didn't buy that house back, he ain't ever getting it back. And therefore, it's nechalat permanently for the buyer. Therefore, the Torah gives the seller the same extra rights, because we don't want him to lose his ancestral home. And therefore, yipekocho, that he can borrow money, and he can buy it back partially. So lov the goel lechatzaim. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, the answer is clear. But wait a minute, says Ravuna Bar Chinana back to Rav Sheshes. That's not a good proof. I have a braita that says, not like you. Listen to this. Im goel yigal, the posik that we had that seems to be adding easier terms for Geula in the case of a Magdish Steyachuza, where these words appear, that teaches us, as the Braita, Melane, Shelovevegoel, Vegoel, Chatzain. So you can take a loan, or you can use some money to buy back part of your house and part of your field that you were Magdish. Now, why do I need to learn that out from a special Pasuk if you go, Ol Yigal, asks the Braita? Isn't it obvious? Fa'alodinu. It's a kal v'chomer. Of course you should be able to do that, maybe you should say. Or actually, if we wouldn't have had this pasuk, then maybe we would say that we should look at it like this. If the halacha is that in a case, sorry, I lost my place over here, in a case, where he was mocher his steyachuza, and over there he's got a lot of extra zchuyot, because he gets it back anyway, even if he didn't buy it back. It would go back to the Baalim automatically. And even in that case, where the Torah provides you extra rights, it would still not give you the rights to be lov of a goel or to be goel achatzoyim. So isn't it a kal v'chomer? Now, this is the exact opposite logic. Isn't it a kal v'chomer that if you're a magdish your sada, where over there you're in bad shape because you don't get it back automatically? On the contrary, if Yovel comes along with Lo Nigala, it's forever kaput, and it's Yotzu L'Kohanim B'din L'Yovel. So isn't it a kal v'chomer that we're not going to give you those extra rights? Wow. This is mamish the opposite, exactly the opposite, right? So if I wouldn't have had the pasukim go Yigal, I would have said this kal v'chomer. But wait, wouldn't I say, Ma'ala Mokar Steyachuza? Maybe the reason that a Mokar Steyachuza does not have those rights, does not have those rights. That Rabbi Shimon says does have that rights. Oh man, am I confused? Shekein hura kocholi gal miyad. Over there, the halacha is that if you sell a steyachuza, so over there, you're in lesser power because you cannot buy it before 2 years go by. Masha Enkein, if you're Magdish, you're Steyachuza, you can go to the Gizbar the very next day and you can buy it back. So therefore, maybe a Magdish Steyachuza has greater rights. And because of that, in fact, is able to be Leiva V'Goyal and to be Goyal L'Chatzayin. Maybe. No. Because look at the Bayit Mocher Bayit B'Botei Arei Choma. Over there, he also has the better rights of being able to buy back immediately. But can he borrow money? No. I thought Rabbi Shimon said yes. Shh. Can he borrow money and be Goel? Can he be Goel L'Chatzayim? No. So apparently, the rights to be Moiva the Goel L'Chatzayim are not enhanced just because you're able to buy back right away. So therefore, that logic doesn't apply. No. Wait a minute, Rav Sheshes, this Braita is completely the opposite of everything you said. This Braita is saying that the case of the Batei Arei Chaima, you do not have the right. And you said, Rav Sheshes, a minute ago, that you proved that you do have the right. And over here, the logic we're using is the exact opposite logic. Well, obviously silly. We're talking about according to Rabbi Shimon, I was telling you now. And here is the beautiful case, where the logic, according to Rabbi Shimon, leads to a din in one direction, whereas the not taking into consideration rationale, which is what the Chachamim hold, leads us to the cold analysis of the facts. The cold analysis of the facts does not take into consideration, isn't this a reason to go easy on him? What kind of reason to go on? Are you some kind of Hasidus HaMaisalach over here? This is an Kalt HaLitvak analysis. Where do you have more rights? Where do you have less rights? And that's how you make Kal V'chomers. And you don't talk about what the rationale is and it makes sense. And get out of here. So therefore, the answer is obvious. We're talking about two completely different people. This Braita that says an opposite logic that's going on, Liba de Rabbanan, who don't take into consideration at all the time of Dikra. And therefore, the rationale is meaningless. All I want, give me the facts, just the facts, man. So then, if that's the case, I've got a Kal V'chomer the way I made the Kal V'chomer. And we end up with the din being the opposite of the din, the way Rabbi Shimon would have applied it. What is this? Well, I mean, it has to do with your feeling sorry for the guy. That's ridiculous. Masha Enkein, the first Braita, was going on Liba de Rabbi Shimon, and Reb Sheshes, when he was bringing his Raya, he was going on Liba de Rabbi Shimon, and everything works out just fine. Now, Benny, here's where we're going to put together the today's Daf in Masechet Kiddushin is Daf Chof Aleph. Okay, so yesterday...
Why isn't Rabbi breaking the recording?
No, Benny's going to take up. We said in the beginning, you came a little late. We said in the beginning, we want to keep it together. Tony Chava. So, actually, the issue that we learned yesterday, that we come to totally different conclusions about Batei Arei Chaima, depending if you're going on Liba de Rabbi Shimon, who is Derish Taima Dikra, or you're going on Liba de Rabbanan, who are not Derish Taima Dikra, actually is expressed in two brises. Tony Chodalova, the Gova Gola Chatzayin. These brises are talking about Batei Arei Chaima. One brisa says, you can go ahead and borrow money. And you can, if you have part of the money, you can buy it back by halves. But another brisa says, absolutely not. You cannot borrow money to be Goyal, and you cannot be Goyal Chatzayin. How do you explain that? Very simple. No kasha. Horabonan, Horabi Shimon. This last one is going according to Rabbanan. Masha Enkein, the first Braita that said that you can be Lova V'Goel and you can be Goel L'Chatzayin, that was following the rationale of the Taima Dikra of Rabbi Shimon, that since the Torah doesn't want this poor guy to lose his home, it therefore should make it easier on him. Not that the fact that he has less rights means that necessarily that makes it harder on him. Just the opposite. Okay. I could tell you that that Kal V'chomer that you made in the Braita before, right at the end of Amud Beis, that you cannot use that kavachomer, because I could say Malam Ocher Bayit Bebatei Arechema Shekein Hurako Choli Geola Olam. In a Bate Arechema, where once you miss that year, you can never come back to be able to take it now. So remember, we were trying to say, why do we need a pasuk to tell me im go'o yigal? Because if it wouldn't be for you go yigal, I would say, if you were magdish de'achuza, then logically the din should be that you cannot be lova v'goyel and you cannot be goyel l'chatzayin. Because if a mocher were over there, you're going to get it back at the end, he's not able to be goyel with chatzayin, because it says that he has to be the hisiga yado kedegu ulato, and he can't borrow because it has to be hisiga yado. And over there, he would not be able to do that, even though the Torah allows him to get it back. So kol shekein, the thing would be true in the case where he's got less kayach, like in the batei arechema. But ikel amifrach, in a sense, the mocher bayit bebatei arechema, the reason that over there perhaps he can't be loiva v'girl l'chatzayin is because he's only able to have that one brief slot of time. He's got a window of 1 year to be goyal. Masha Einkein, if you were magda shestei achuza, and the gizbar didn't sell it to anybody, so you theoretically could have a window of the next 49 years, you know? And maybe that would be a reason that the Torah has given him more rights, and therefore will give him more rights. Again, this is all Rabbanan Kaltalitvak idea, right? Will give him more rights because of the fact that he's able to be girl all the way up until Yovel. So it doesn't work out even like the Rabbanan. Amar le Rav Acha Saba le Rav Ashi, that's not a problem. Why? Because Mishum Deikla Meimar Nahadar Dina, if you take into consideration all of the dinim together, we make a Mahatzad, then you could learn it out from a Mahatzad, and that would not have been a problem. We look to the common denominator. And let me show you the common denominator, okay? You told me that the difference is that in the case of the Batei Arechema, he only has a brief window. And that might account for the fact that if he only has a brief window, so then maybe that's why he's eno goyal l'chatzayin, or he's eno lova v'goyal. But to that, I would tell you, now wait a minute, I can prove that that's not logical from the case of a mocher shtei achuza. Over there, he does have the rights to be goyal the entire time, and it says beferish, he can only be matzah kedei gulato, and only if it's hisiga yado. So he's eno lova v'goyal l'chatzayin. So that shows that your argument is ridiculous. No, it doesn't, because Malamocher Shtei Achuza, he is in a bad situation, namely, he's not allowed to buy it back right away. He's got to wait a minimum of Mispar Shnei Tevuot, right? Ah, but then I will tell you wrong, because a mocher bayit bebatei arechoma, you see how the Gemara is getting this into our heads, right? Okay, so now we'll go back and forth, and we'll see all of the sides. A mocher bayit bebatei arechoma, even though he can immediately buy it back, but nonetheless, according to the Rabbanan, what's the din? Ein a lova v'goyel, ve'ein a goyel l'chatzayin. And therefore, chazar adin, lo rizek rizek, v'lo rizek rizek. Each one has a different argument, but there is a common denominator. The common denominator is, in both of these cases, the mocher shdei achuza and the mocher bayit, the common denominator is, they do have a geula, but they cannot be lova v'goyel. Either you got the money or you don't. Don't go to the bank. And they cannot be goyel l'chatzayin. Therefore, if I wouldn't have had the pasuk of Inko Oyigal by a magdish de'achuza, I would have said, Afani avi magdish de'achuza shenigal, yes, but in a lova v'goyel, and in a goyel l'chatzayin. Omar Lehman, this is brilliant, guys. This is really fun. Because now we can find another adorable common denominator. Dig this one. It's incredible. Says Marzur Chabarader of Mori, But they have another common denominator. Neither of them give you rights to be Goyal in year two. The Batei Arechema, in year two, it's too late. And then the Mocher Steyachuza, in year two, it's too early. So the common denominator is that anything that cannot be Nigal in year two, that's all that you can prove. But other cases, this wouldn't apply. A Magdish said that you've got the entire Yovel to be able to buy it back. So over there, even without the Pasuk of Im Goel Yigal, you should be able to buy back partially. Is that adorable? Omar Le Ravina, no, that's not good. Because let's bring in a third case to prove it, okay? The third case for our common denominator would be what? Let's go back to the case of Eved Ivri Anim Kalami Kuchavim. Ha-ha! And we'll throw it all in together. And now we've got three cases out of which we'll try to derive the fourth case. And that would be the case of an Eved Ivri that was Nimkar to an Akum, a Mocher Steyachuza, a Mocher Bias, but Batei Arechema Kamatobi. Guys, this is not fun. Put them all together, and what do you get? Well, you see over there that even though he can be bought back in year two, but the din is that it says over there, Kedei Geulato, he's not Lova Vagol Vagol Lachatzoyin. Uh-huh. So if that's the case, it's clear. It says Beferish over there, oh, he see Gaya Dovenigal. So the halacha is he's got to not borrow money, but make that money. And even though in the second year he's got that plus that he can beguil himself, nonetheless, it's not the second year that matters. Which means that the halacha is you would not be able, if it weren't for the pasuk of Im Goel Yigal by Magdish Deachuza, I would have been led to the inexorable conclusion based on the three other examples of the same halacha that you would not be able to be loyal to the girl of a girl of Chatzayin. Comes along the pasuk to tell us Im Goel Yigal, this is a special case. Whew. Well, okay. Wonderful. Now, of course, we have not figured out whether the din of Geulat Krovim is applicable. And we only talked about the question of whether you could be Goyal Lechatzoyin or whether you could be Lov Evagoyal. Now I got another question for you. What would you say? I got another one for you. Can we use Geulat Krovim or not? Can I come along as a relative and force the guy to sell me back this house, even though he wants to keep it? And I'm sorry, but I'm related to the guy who sold it to you, and I want to buy it back. And my question is, again, the word Geulato appears in the din of Steyachuza, and the word Geulato appears in the din of Batei Arechema. This is the same issue that we raised earlier, and as Tosis pointed out there, it's not 100% Gzeres Shavar. We would have to actually say Gzeres Shavar L'Mechtza. And the question is, would we say, just like a Steyachuza, there is no din of Geula L'Chatzoyin or Loiva V'Goyal, and there's also no din of Geulat Krovim, Af Einani Einigal L'Chatzoyin, Einigal L'Krovim. So the same thing should be true in the case of Batei Arechema. Or you could say, Udilma, Kiktiva Geula, now, wait a minute. The word we're trying to learn one from the other is Geulato. That word Geulato comes in the middle of the pasuk that is talking about buying back. Umatza kidei Geulato. But it does not say anything in that pasuk about Krovim. So why would we compare it in the din of Krovim? That's my question. So Rav Shesha said, I'll tell you, the din is, there's no din of Geulat Krovim either in Batei Arechema. Asks the Gemara, but it says in the Braita, Beferish, not like that. Because when it's talking about the very beginning of all of these dinim, which is what? The din of Yovel itself. So what does it say over there? Uvchol Eretz Achuzatchem Geulat Itnu La'aretz. So now, what is the purpose of repeating the dinim of Geula on Yovel when they were all said very clearly up front? So how do you explain this extra pasuk seems to be adding something in all of the things that you've got? You have to give a gula. You know what this is coming to include? This comes to include houses and the din of Eved Ivri. And therefore, it's saying in all cases, you have to allow gula with clothing. That seems to be what it's saying. And that means that even though it didn't say the din of gula's clothing by a bayit, and even though it didn't say gula's clothing by an Eved that was nimkar to Yisrael, so I'm assuming when it says this includes even batei orechima, make sure that there is a geula. Rav Sheshes, you said there is no geula. Nah, says Rav Sheshes, this is not referring to batei orechima. This is referring to your old house, wherever it is, but certainly not in one of the cities that is Mekudesh. It's talking about batei chatzerim, where the house was not in an ir chumah. What are you talking about? I don't need a pasuk for that. It says beferish. Remember, we just read the pasuk together. I'll stay ha'aretz yechashev, has the same din as any soda. So what's the problem? It says b'teachatzerim asher ein lahem chumah saviv, I'll stay ha'aretz yechashev gulati yelo uva yovel yetze. That's a beferish pasuk. So since it says beferish that geula yiye, why do I need to tell me b'kol achuzatchem geula? Nah, there's a difference between a geula that is allowable and a geula that is demanded. There's a big difference. The reason that it says b'kol eretz achuzatchem geula is because the Torah is demanding that you, as a relative, owe it to your family to buy back that achuza. It's not up to your good heart. So if I wouldn't have had that extra pasuk, I would have said, okay, the din of geula tiyeh means you're allowed to be goyel, but not what I'm mechuyev to be goyel. I don't want this house. I don't want this. So why would I have to pay for it? It comes along, and this is Ali ben Rebbe Eliezer. He holds that it's actually a chiyuv. So for him, it works out very well. The Tanya, v'ga'al et mimkar achiv. So the Tanakama holds that where it says v'ga'al, that's talking about ki amuch achicho machar miachuzato, u'bogo alo akarov elav v'ga'al et mimkar achiv. Okay, so here it says that there is a din of geula of krovim on the case of a mocher steachuza. But it's only a rishus. Atom a rishus. You say it's only the rights to be go. It's not that you have to be go. Maybe it's a chova. Talmud lomar v'ish ki lo yiyelo goel. So what does it say over there? If he doesn't have a goel, so then it goes on to say that's the very next pasuk. And there it says, okay, so then you can buy it back and so on. But there's no such thing as an ish asher ein lo goel, because every single individual in Yisrael has a goel. By definition, everyone is ultimately your cousin. So if there was no father, grandfather, so it goes all the way back to Yaakov Avinu and then comes all the way down to any descendants of Yaakov Avinu. And as long as there's one other descendant of Yaakov Avinu, you have a goel. So what do you mean? A shaloi el goel? It's absurd. So what it means is, of course, he has goalim, but the guy doesn't want to buy it. So Zershi Yeshua Vein Arotzulakach. He could say, I don't want to buy it. Therefore, says Rabbi Yeshua, you see from here that it does not mean you must be goal. It means you can be goal. Rabbi Eliezer says, oh, no. It says, V'ga'alet memkar achiv, that is a chiyav. Well, you say it's a chiyav. I don't know it's a chiyav. That's the meaning of the extra pasuk in Yovel, v'chol eretz achuzatchem, geulat itnu la'aretz, which repeats it, and therefore hakatuv kiva'o chova. We now know that it's an absolute chiyuv, and there's no way to get out of it. So then we're saying that there is a din of geulas krovim in batim, and Reb Sheshes claimed that that means dafka batei achatzerim, but not a bayit moshav ir chumah. Amri le Rabbanu le Rav Ashi, or Sabzi Ravina said to Rav Ashi, look, I mean, if you say it's coming to be Marba Batech Orechuma, and that means that there's a din of Geula Bekrovim, then I would explain the word Bechol Eretz Achuzatchem. When you have to put in the word Bechol Eretz Achuzatchem, you could have just said Geula Tiknu La'aretz. But Bechol Eretz Achuzatchem seems to be adding something. What is it adding? Batech Orechuma. But according to the Mandi Omar, that Rav Sheshes says, he claims that it's only coming to be Marbe Batei Chatzerim, which we already know. This is just giving us the extra chiyuv that it's a chuvah. Why does it say Bechol? Of course it includes that. So what's the point of Bechol? That is a problem. That is actually a problem. What's fascinating is that despite this problem, the Rambam Paskins like Rav Sheshes. There's no din of Geulas Krevim on Batei Orechaima. There's only a din of Geulas Krevim on someone who sells a field or a house, which is basically the same as a field, unless it's in that special din of Batei Orechaima that gives it Kedusha. Eisei Abayim. Ma Talmud Lomar Yigalenu, 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 Shalosh Pamim. Getting back to that pasuk where a Yisrael is Nimkar to a Ger, Toshav, Eker Mishpachat Ger. So it says three times in that pasuk for no reason. Acharei Nimkar, Gulati Yelo, Echad Meachav, Yigalenu, O Dodo, Ven Dodo, Yigalenu, O Misher Besaromi Mishpachto, Yigalenu. For heaven's sakes, how many gulas do you need? That's coming to tell me that wherever we have a din of a gula, they all have this halacha, that these relatives can come along and they can be goyal. I mean, what does that mean? What do you mean all geulas? What geulas are you adding over here? I mean, I'm assuming the cases where we have geulas is the case of Batei Orechaima and the case of an Eved Ivri that was Nimkar to Yisrael. Those are the only cases. But then that's the opposite of Rav Sheshes, because Rav Sheshes says, no, there is no din of gula by Batei Orechaima. So what are these extra psukim gula, gula, gula for? No, you know what it's referring to? It's referring to Batei Chatzerim and to Stei Achuza. What are you talking about? Batei Chatzerim and Stei Achuza, it says beferish. I mean, I'll stay ha'oretz yechashev. What do I need this extra pasuk? It says in the case of the Mocher Stei Achuza, there's no question. And when it comes to the din of a Batei Orechaima, it says beferish that the Batei HaChatzerim al stei ha'aretz yechashev, which gives it the same halacha, that the Karov should be goel. So what is the point of mentioning this extra words of Yigalenu, Yigalenu? Ah, that's coming to tell me a chiddush. Not that there's a din of gula and krovim, but that it's keseder hazeh, namely lekarov karov kodem, like Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak says. It's coming to teach me that whoever is the closest of his krovim, we learn out he's the one that's supposed to be the active person to get the eved out of the reshus of the goy, and if that's the case, only where that first one is not alive, it goes to the next one. So it doesn't say anything about that with the din. It just says, Krovo, where do we know that it has to be the closest one? Therefore, this pasuk is absolutely necessary because here it goes in order. Why does it mention it in order? To teach me that indeed this order is actually Koveya who gets the right to be Nikal. So Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak said that the idea over here of the Be'ele and the Yigalenu in that order, which we thought was saying that all Geulas, Rabot Kol HaGeulot, Shenigalot Keseder Hazeh, which we thought means that there's always a din of Geula Bekrovim. Remember that this is our last question. Is there Geula Bekrovim even in cases where no Geula Bekrovim was mentioned at all? And we wanted to be Medayek from the Braita, that since it mentions Yigalenu, 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 that's coming to tell me that even places that are not mentioned beferish, that there's a Geula Lekrovim. So we have five situations in which there's a din of Geula, but it's not clear that these are all Geula Lekrovim. So we know we have the din of Sde Achuza. We have the din of Bate Orechema. We have the din of Batim in a Chatzerot, which is not Bate Orechema. We have the din of Eved Ivri, Hanimkar La'akum, and we have the din of Eved Ivri, that is Nimkar Liyisrael. So now it says, Beferish, only by the Nimkar Liyisrael, that anybody is able to come, and it says it three times. First it says, the Dodo Ben Dodo, and then it talks about, he should be Yigalenu, and it keeps repeating the Yigalenu, if he was Motza himself, or somebody else comes along, and Yigalenu. So we have either Echad Miachav, or Dodo Ben Dodo, or we have Sher Bisaro Mimishpachto Yigalenu. So it lists all of these relatives, and it repeats every one of them Yigalenu. So what's the three Yigalenus? To tell me that there's always, even in cases where it doesn't say Beferish, and those cases are an Eved Ivri Nimka La'akum, and a case of Meicher Stei Achuza, and it appears that since it says that a regular home in Batei Arei HaChatzerot has the din of Al Pnei HaSadeh Yechashev, has the same din as a Sadeh, so it would mean also the Gula Bekrovim, if it has the same din. So what is the extra two words Yigalenu? The missing cases. What are the missing cases? Bote Orechema and the case of an Eved Ivri Hanimkar Liyisrael. Okay? Please, can we get this straight? Out of the five cases, and we're not talking here about the din of Magdish Sde Achuza, which occurs at the end of Bechukosai, where over there there's also a din of Yigalenu, but it's much more complex because the Yigalenu over there, if somebody else will buy it from the Gizbar, then in almost all cases, except for the one case we had before, where his own son buys it, that then it's not considered to be going out to Hekdesh B'Yovel. But in any other cases, if somebody else buys it, besides the guy himself, it will be Yotze to the Kohanim B'Yovel. That's why we don't include that case, because we really have six cases, right? But only five cases have the possible din of Geulat Krovim. So therefore, there are only two cases left, because three out of the two cases, it says Beferish. The case of Nimka La'akum, it says Beferish, O Dodo Ben Dodo, that's where the main thing is. And by the case of the Meicher Sde Achuza, it says over there, also the Halacha, that someone from his Krovim Yigalenu. Okay, it doesn't give the whole list, but it says someone from the Krovim. And then it uses the word Yigalenu three times. What are the extra two times that occur in the case of the Akum? The two missing cases, which it never explained in the Torah. Bate Orechema and Mechiras Eved Ivri to a Yisrael, not to an Akum. So we're finally zeroing in. So we assumed that that means we're covering all of the cases. And therefore, we have a raya against Rav Sheshes because we heard from Rav Sheshes that there's no din of Geulas Krovim on Bote Orechema. And Rav Sheshes answered yesterday that it's talking about not the two missing cases, it's talking about Bote Chatzerim, and it's talking about Stei Achuza, which makes no sense because there it says Beferish what the din is. And this is where we got to Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak says it doesn't mean Kiseder Hazeh of Krovim, it means that it goes in order of how close the relative is. That's what it means. Kiseder Hazeh, who has the right to be Goyal? It has to be Mamish Kiseder Hazeh. So in the same way that we talk about closest relative comes first, so to over here, it's closest relative first. And that's why it mentions the Echad Me'echav, and then it says Ododo, O Ben Dodo. And then afterwards, She'er Bisaro, fine. So that is the Chiddush. Not that there's a din of Geula, but where there is a din of Geula that is given, the Seder is important. So the Seder HaGeula is, as we said. Therefore, it means to say, Karov, Karov, Kodem. Now remember that we had a machlokas where the Geula is a Chiyav. In the case of the Nimkar La'akum, we said it's a Chiyav. If it's a chiyuv, who is the one that has to respond first to the chiyuv? That's what it's saying. Korov, korov, kodem. This is similar to the din of yibum, where everybody has the right of yibum, but there's a mitzvah on the gadol first. So there's a seder of who is looked at first to take the responsibility. That's what Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak said. But therefore, that would mean that we have not any raya about Rav Sheshes, because Rav Sheshes was talking about the question of whether there is Geula. And this is talking about the order of the Geula, where there is Geula. Clear, everybody? Excellent. Now, let's just look into Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak directly, where he talks about Keseder Hazer. Where would he say that? Hecha Itma de Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. He actually had given that pirush on a question that was raised in the Beis HaMedrash. Eved Ivri HaNimka LeYisrael. Is it Nigal LeKrovim or is it not Nigal LeKrovim? That was one of the missing cases. So we know that there was a machlokas before. Rebbe said beferish the words, quote, Mi she'eno nigal be'ele, nigal b'shesh. Whoever doesn't get the din of Geula Krovim, referring to the Nimka LeYisrael, he goes out b'shesh. Okay, so that means the Rebbe's taking for granted Alma lo mifrak. There is no din of Geulas Krovim on a Yisrael HaNimka LeYisrael. So the only question was Aliba and the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan say there's no connection between Sheish and between Geulas Krov. So now I want to know what do they hold specifically about this case of a Yeved Ivri HaNimka LeYisrael. Is there a din of Yitzia or not, according to the Rabbanan? What does this machlokas revolve around? Well, the question is like this. Do we learn out Sochir Sochir as being the primary connection between the Nimkar La'akum and the Nimkar to the Yisrael? Because in both cases, as we saw before, the Torah uses the word Kisachir. So therefore, it should have the same din. If it says by Nimkar La'akum that there's a din of Geulas Krovim, then Nimkar La'Yisrael is also a din of Geulas Krovim. Or should we be Doresh the word Yigalenu? Yigalenu, they wouldn't Doresh, because if they did, Odilma Yigalenu means only this case of a Nimka La'akum. Yigalenu, Velo La'acher, but someone who was Nimka LeYisrael, not. So we have something of a contradiction in the Psukim. On the one hand, we have a connection of the two cases because of Sochir Sochir, and on the other hand, we have a Miut that says that the Din of Geula only applies to a Nimka La'akum. What would be the halacha? So there is the first place that we try to bring a raya from that braita. And we said, b'chol artzachem geula titinu la'aretz, right? So that would mean, in all cases, even batim ve'eved ivri. And we assumed that when it said batim ve'eved ivri, it meant batei orei chayma and eved ivri anibka liyisrael, because those are the two missing cases. So if we need a pasuk, then obviously the pasuk is coming to tell me the din in the two cases where the Torah did not spell out what the halacha would be, legabe geulas krovim, right? So it added up beautifully. And that's where we said, no, it's referring to an Eved Ivri HaNimka La'akum. What? Eved Ivri HaNimka La'akum is a beferish pasuk. Why would I need an extra ribuy to tell me there's a din of geula? It says, o dodo ben dodo yigalenu. So there, says the Gemara, it could be that the extra pasuk is to tell me that in this case, even though we had a machlokas before between Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yoshua, legabe the dinim of steachuza, whether it's a reshus to be goyel to a relative or whether it's a chiyav on the relative to be goyel. That's only in the case of a steachuza. But in the case of a Yisrael HaNimka La'akum, where we are worried about his being ending up becoming a goy, after all, he's going to be living there, working for the Akum, he may end up assimilating. Over there, the Torah comes to tell me an extra pasuk, you are absolutely mechuyev, even according to Rabbi Yoshua, who learned that it's only a rishus, but that's legabe a soda, but legabe a person who's an imkel Akum, that's not a rishus, that's a chiyev. Okay, Tashma, so we want to bring another raya, and here's where we get to the question of Yigalenu, Yigalenu, Yigalenu three times, which is where the original drasha that we were looking for was the question of in this order. What does this order mean? So here's where we end up discovering it. Tashma, in conjunction with this question, is there a din of Geulas Krovim by a Eved Ivri HaNimka LeYisrael? It said, Ma Talmud Lomar. In the case of the Akum, it says three times the word Yigalenu. So that tells me, l'rabot kol ha'geulot sh'nigalot k'seder hazeh. And that means we have two extra geulais. What are those two extra geulais? Obviously, the two cases that the Torah didn't define elsewhere. Namely, batei orei chema, which is a raya against Rav Sheshes, and Eved Ivri HaNimkar LeYisrael. Those are the only two cases where the Torah didn't specifically say that there's a din of Geulas Krovim. That was our original proof of concept. And we answered, no, it's referring to Batei Chatzerim and Stei Achuza. And we asked, but that it says Beferish in the Torah. Batei Chatzerim Behed Yaktiv Al Sedei Ha'aretz Yechashev. No, I don't understand. That's where Nachum Bar Yitzchak was originally said. Omer of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, when it says Kaseder Hazeh, it does not mean that there's a din of Geulas Krovim. It means that where you know that there is a din of Geulas Krovim, it has to be done in this order, meaning Korov, Korov, Kedem. And the same way that we had it before we were talking about it in terms of the Batei Achatzerim. And here is the original Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak in terms of an Eved Ivri HaNimkar LeYisrael. In both of those cases, Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak is applicable. Which case did he say it about? He said it about the case of Eved Ivri HaNimkar LeYisrael. That's all that we did to try to figure out how Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak got into this. So this concludes, Rabbi Yisrael, all of the cases that we were talking about. And I would like just to go over the din. So that means we have six cases and we have four issues. The six cases are the Eved Ivri that's Nimkar to Yisrael, an Eved Ivri that's Nimkar to a Goy. Then we have a Stei Achuza that you sell, and we have a Stei Achuza that you're Magdish. Then we have the din of Batei Orechema, and then we have the din of Batei Chatzerim. So therefore, we can easily split this up into three sets of two. Set number one is Eved Ivri, which splits into two. Nimkar la'akum, Nimkar la'Yisrael. Then we have the din of Soda, which splits into two. Mocher Stei Achuza, Magdish Stei Achuza. Then we have the din of selling a home, which splits into two. Batei Orechema, Batei Chatzerim. Six total cases. Four dinim that we've been talking about in these six cases, which is why our eyes are now turning around in circles like slot machines, because we've got so many different combinations over here. What are the four issues that we need to talk about? Well, we started off with, is he allowed to be Lovev Goel? And then, is he allowed to be Goel L'chatzaim? And then, is he allowed to be Goel immediately, after 1 year, after 2 years? What's the period in which he's Goel? And then the fourth question was, can there be a din of Geulas Krovim? And then there were sub-questions as to whether the din of Geulas Krovim is a chiyuv or whether the din of Geulas Krovim is a rishus. Fine. So let's go through all of these cases. First, let's take the case of the Eved Ivri. The fundamental case mentioned in the Torah is an Eved Ivri who is Nimkar La'ako. What's the din over there? Well, it says Beferish that he has to be Yisiga Yado and he cannot borrow the money and he has to pay him back his entire value, kidegu ulato, and therefore a nimkar le'akum is not lova v'goel, is not goel l'chatzaim. But the moment that he gets that money, he's able to be goel himself. So there's no minimal period. So there, that's the period. As far as the gulas krovim is concerned, that is the main case where the Torah says, yes, absolutely, gives a list of all of the krovim. And not only that, but we just learned that there is a special mitzvah, the way we were derish the pasuk of b'chol aretz achuzatchem, the geula, that comes to tell me that even aliba de Rabbi Yeshua, there's an absolute chiyuv to be goyel and eved ivri from a goy. Why? We're afraid of assimilation. The other member of the set of eved ivri is the eved ivri hanimkar liyisrael. There also, he has to be able to be sig himself, and he has to be able to pay back the geulasa. Therefore, he's not loiva v'goyel, he's not goyel l'chatzaim, but he's, the moment he gets the money, he is able to be goyel. And as far as the din of krovim is concerned, as we just reviewed, according to Rebbe, beferish not. According to the Rabbanan, we were not certain, because we weren't sure about what the din is in terms of darshening sachir sachir or darshening yigalenu lo v'lo l'ach. That is the first set, Eved Ivri. Let's move on to the second set. I'm hoping that this will make it easier to remember. The second set is the set of Sodais. The first member of that set is the sale of a Soda. which we have at the end of Bahar. The second member of that set is Magdish Se'achuza, which we have at the end of Bechukosai. The din of a Mocher Se'achuza, there is no allowances for Lova V'Goel. There's no allowances for Goel L'chatzain. And as far as when you can be Goel, you need Shnei Tevuot. So there's a minimum of 2 years, and sometimes 2 years include three Tevuos, a minimum of three Tevuos. That is a Sugya Nerechin, but the point is, whatever it is, it's certainly not Miyad. Is there a din of Geulas Krovim? It says Beferish Echad Mikrovav Yigalenu. So there is a din of Geulas Krovim by the sale of a Steyachuza. As far as a Magdish Steyachuza, over there it says Beferish Im Go'ol Yigal, which teaches us we make things very easy for him. He can be Lova V'Goel. He can be Goel Echatzoyin. He can be Goel immediately. As a matter of fact, he better be Goel as quick as possible, because if that Gizbar gets around to selling it to somebody else before he gets a chance to be Goel, it'll never come back into his Rishos. And as far as Krovim are concerned, if they will buy it from the Gizbar, it's like a total stranger. And the din would be, unless it's his son, the din would be that it would be Yaitzu L'Kayanim B'Yoiva. That's set two. Now let's talk about set three, homes. Homes, the main problem was Batei Arei Choma, and the other one was the Batei HaChatzerim. Now, I know what you're going to say. Why do we even bother having the second member of the set of Batei HaChatzerim, since Batei HaChatzerim are the same as Mechiras Sada? And I will soon explain to you that they're basically the same, but that there's a very important major difference, which is obvious when you think about it. Now, let's talk about the first member of the set. A house in an Ir Choma from the time of Yehoshua bin Nun. So the question is, how much time do you have? You've only got precisely 1 year. If not, then you are not going to be able to be Goel. Okay, so now, what is the din of Lova V'Goel and Goel L'Chatzayin? We had the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan. So according to Rabbi Shimon, you are Lova V'Goel, V'Goel L'Chatzayin. According to the Rabbanan, you are not Lova V'Goel and not Goel L'Chatzayin. And as far as the din of Geulas Krovim is concerned, we just learned over here that was the question of how we're going to be medayik in this pasuk. Batei HaChatzerim are the same as Steyachuza, except for one big difference. They're the same as Steyachuza that Eino Lova V'Goel Ve'Eino Goel HaChatzayim. But since there's obviously no grain growing in your home, so then the din of B'Mispar Shnei Tevuot is not applicable to a house. And therefore, when it comes to Batei HaChatzerim, they can have Geula immediately, and they can have Geula all the way till Yovel, and nobody can stop you. Not at the beginning, and not at the end. And that is a unique halacha, because even though you obviously have an immediate right to be Goel Batei Arei Choma, but you only have 1 year to do it. And even though you have a right in a Magdish Te'achuza, you have to hurry as quickly as possible because the Gizbar will sell it. And even though you could be Goel Ada Yovelam in a Steyachuza, but you can't until 2 years pass. So Memela, this is a special halacha. Nobody can stop you right away and not Ada Yovel. So that is basically our quick review of all of the issues that we learned until now. And I hope this makes it more clear, because we break it into sets. And we see we've got 24 variables, and we have to put them all together. No big deal for such. I forgot I'm talking to Earth again. Oh, God, forget it. I'm sure it is a big deal.
That's why Rebbe has to drink
for people
more often.
Mind space, but what can you do? Okay, and now to continue. Okay, come on. It was some fun, wasn't it? At least a little smile. All right. Okay, so now moving on to the Nirza. The next case that we had in the Mishnah is that Yerkena a Nirza Beritzia, which is really weird. I mean, like, what kind of Kenyan is an act of Ritzia? How do we know that? Well, it says, V'ratzadonav edazno b'martzea v'yavado lo'olam. So then that means that's the Kenyan. There's nothing else between the two. And therefore, the act of Ritzia is an actual Kenyan. And then, konet atzmo b'yovel b'mitata adon. We have to review that again, because otherwise, if I would think that b'mitata adon, then the son would inherit the way he would inherit an eved ivri who's not a nirza, So then the guy wouldn't go free. And over here, the Mishnah says he goes free, which must mean that there is no inheritance. Indeed, because it says, Va'avado. Avado means only the one who bought him, not his son, certainly not his daughter, or any of the other Yorshim. And then when it says La'olam, it obviously means La'olamo shel Yovel, because we proved earlier, remember, before, that it can't mean anything else, because it says V'shaftem, and that V'shaftem would include the Nirtza. Fine. Tana Rabbana. Now let's talk about the Dinim of Ritzia. So what does it mean when it says in the Torah to use an awl? What is that exactly? A carpenter's awl? Like this big thing? And like, whoa, I mean, that's going to make a big awl. What does it mean? So it is a martzea. Inli ela martzea. I would think it means a literal awl. Minayin l'rabot ha-sol v'ha-sira v'ha-machad v'ha-magdeach v'ha-machtev. How do I know that this would include even a sharp wooden equivalent of a something that will puncture his ear, or maybe even a thorn that you take off of a bush, or if you have a needle, or if you have a drill, or they used to have, remember, these sharp styli that they would write in wax. You know, it's not very useful for our tablets. It sort of damages the screen. But in those days, the tablets you used is pretty sharp, a sharp stylus to write on. So how do I know I can use all of those things? Talmud lamar v'lakachta. First is v'lakachta. Then when it says v'lakachta, that's a ribui. So then that's marbe kol davar shenikach miyad. As long as it's portable. Divrei Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi says, nope. There's a klal prado klal, as we're going to see. And just like a martzea, by definition, is the name of a metal working tool. So it's a metal tool. Then anything else would have to be metal. Afkol shel matechet hamartzeya, and then when it says beferish, the word hamartzeya with a hey, that's coming to tell me lavi hamartzeya hagadol. So that's in the velakachtet hamartzeya. This is an important pasuk that we added in the second parsha of Ritzia, where we were talking about eva halachas of eved ivri velakachtet hamartzeya minatata baozno vadelet. Note, Bozno Uvadelet, Vayalacha, that's the Eved Olam. This was the pasuk where it said, Aflamatcha Tasekin, and we thought maybe that meant Ritzia, and it turned out it did not, because it's Ivri, Velo Ivriya in this case, and it means it's the Eved. It must mean, therefore, that she's Yotze with a tip. Okay, that's just a brief reminder. But Hamartzeh with a hey, that comes to tell me the Martzea is a carpenter's Martzea, which is big. And you would think, whoa, I ain't going to use that on somebody's ear, Kamash Malan, that it can be used. Where do we know that from? We know that because HaMartzea is the same thing the Gemara will point out as HaYarech in Chulin. So the always means the one that is the most kosher. Dover Acher, this HaMartzea is Mamartzea Gadol, and Omar Rabbi Elazar, Yudan Barebi. So this was, do you know who this is, maybe, Rabbanea? Who is Yudan Barebi? He was the Gadol Ador in his time, but I'm not sure who he was. So he used to be Derish. Kishem Rotzim in Rotzin Elabem Milta. You do the Ritzia, you do it in the soft tissue of the earlobe. You don't go through the actual cartilage of the ear. Whereas the Chachamim say exactly the opposite is true. Because, look, since the halacha is that ein eved ivri kohen nirtza, there's no din of ritzia on a kohen. Why? Because he would become a balmum. And if you are right, our dear Yudin Baribi, that it goes through only the milta im rotzim, so then how would he become a balmum, since it says in Becheres Beferish that the only din of a mum in the ozen of a bechor is if it goes through cartilage, but not if it just goes through soft tissues? So then he wouldn't be a balmum. That proves that dafka the ritzia has to be through cartilage and begova shel ozen. No, it is not redanim. So now the question is, so what's the machlokas between Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi? So according to Rabbi, it has to be made out of metal. According to Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't have to be made out of metal. Well, it turns out that this is one of those very fundamental machlokas that we've spoken about in many other cases. And that's the question of whether Kol HaTorah Kula is Nidrash B'Klole U'Prate, or Kol HaTorah Kula is Nidrash B'Ribui U'Miyute. So remember, this was our most fundamental issue in how to be Derish the Torah. If you learn the Torah as Klole U'Prate, it means that every aspect of the Torah is meant essentially to represent a set or a member of a set. If you're learning Ribui U'Miyute, then it means each case is taken individually. There are broader words that are used, which obviously include an entire class of issues, but not in terms of sets and defining members of a set. It would just mean anything that that word could apply to. And then if there's miyute, then the miyute would represent a particular exclusion, to tell me to exclude a thing. So therefore, if you have klal, prat, or klal, you would start with a klal. What would be the din? That klal would be an inclusive set. The moment you say a prat afterwards, we take that to be the defining set. In other words, only what was defined. So it would always be a set with one member, if it's a klal or prat. And that's called ein b'klal, ela ma'ase b'prat. Now, when you come along and you say a klal at the end, you obviously are expanding it beyond that one member. So now the question is, what did that one prat come to discuss? It was giving you a prototype of members, meaning that it has to be similar to that thing. And therefore we say ein b'chlal, not ein b'chlal ela ma'ase b'prat, but ein b'chlal ela hadome la prat. Now, anything similar to it. Now the question is, how similar? That's a sub-machlokas about whether we look at the original klal as being fundamental, but the original klal was the one that was limited by the prat that followed. And then the last klal would only expand it to one notch. So therefore, it would have to be similar to the prat in every way. And she'enkein, if you learn the klal abatra is what's chashuv, then that would mean the expansive part of the klal, prat or klal, is the most important. And it would mean that would, as long as it's similar to the prat in any way, it would be included. That's klal, prat or klal, ribui miut. The moment that we would have a ribui, it would include everything. A miut afterwards would be in and of itself sufficient to define the equivalent of a klal, prat, or klal, because it would mean anything like this in the broadest sense. Then when I repeat again the ribui, I'm telling you, no. I don't mean anything like this. I mean everything. So why'd you say that prat? I said that prat because there's one thing which you need to understand is not even similar. So let's take the case over here. Is the meaning of ritzia making a hole in an ear? Or is the meaning of ritzia actually digging a hole in the ear? Now, there's a big difference. If it's just to make a hole in the ear, I can take a little bit of acid. I can put it on his earlobe. The acid will eat through and make a hole in the earlobe. Is that included in the din of ritzia? So if the Torah had only said a klal, I would have said, yes, if you're dashing ribui, then the Torah says anything. But since it mentioned a martzea, it's now defining what we mean by doing ritzia. And it means digging a hole in an ear, not causing a hole in an ear. And therefore, it would exclude acid. Masha inkein, if you're learning it as a klal, prat, or klal, it has to be similar to the case that's given, which defines the nature of the set. And the case that's given is a metal instrument. So therefore, Rebbe says it has to be a metal instrument. That's the machlokas. Are we going to be darshaning klal uprat, or are we going to be darshaning the din of ribui umiute? So here's how it would go. Rebbe, who is darish, but Michael Miflegate, Rebbe is darish klali uprat. He goes like this. First it says vilakachta. Okay, lakachta mean any type of instrument. Then it says martzea, which means only an awl. And then it says, and slam it through bazdobadelas. Okay, so that's, again, a klal, whatever would go through the ear into the wall, right, into the door. So then we have a klal, prat, or klal. Iyatadan elake ina prat, just like the prat is made out of metal, afkol shalmatechet. That's Rebbe, but Rebbe Yossi, he darshans ribu yumiyute. So let's start with the velakach, that's a riba. Then you have martzea, that is a single miyut. And then we have Bozno Badelet, Chazav Riba, the rule of Riboy Miyot Riboy, everything is included. Riba Umiyot Riba, Riba Hakol, except for one thing. So my Rabbi Kol Mili, And what was the point of mentioning Marzia, which is the exclusion? It's a single exclusion, which is what? Acid. Mietzan. You cannot cause a hole with acid, but you can make a hole with anything at all, whether it's made out of wood, plastic, anything. Okay, let's get back to Har Marzia. How did you know that Har Marzia means a big carpenter's awl? My mashma. Because just like we said when we were trying to figure out which one of the nerves on the right or on the left thigh is considered to be the Gina Nasha. So since it said the Yarech, and since almost all cases of mammals are right-legged, so then Hamiyumenet Shebiyarech is the most important of the thighs in that case. And over here, Hamartseya is the most definitive of all, which of course is a standard carpenter awl. Okay, let's get back to Yudin. Omer Rabbi Elazar, Yudin Baribi Hayadoresh, when you do the Ritzia, you do it in soft tissue. Ein Rotzin Ela B'Milta. But the Chachomim say, ridiculous, because since Ein Eved Ivri Koin Nirtza, that was a Kaboah. Why? Mipnation Asid Bamum. And therefore, it has to be in cartilage, because if it goes through soft tissue, it's not considered to be a balmum. Since when is there an iser to make a kohen a balmum? I mean, you're not allowed to make an animal a balmum, but where does it say a kohen can't be a balmum? There's a mitzvah in the Torah of Ritzia, so do Ritzia. The guy says he wants to be there, and the Torah says to be Meratzeh, it doesn't know. So why all of a sudden we're coming up with a new, what, sensitivity that doesn't have a Torah basis? Yes, a balmum, let him be a balmum. That's because when it says that he goes out biyovel, it says v'shav el mishpachto. What does that mean, go back to your family? What if he doesn't get along with his family? Who cares where he goes back to? The point is that he goes free. No, that's the whole idea. He goes back to the level of his family. If his family were Kohanim that were working in the Beis HaMikdash, he has to go back to being a Kohen who works in the Beis HaMikdash. Well, if you put a hole through his ear, he is not a Kohen who works in the Beis HaMikdash. Bad news. And therefore, it cannot include a Kohen in Ritzia. Fine. Now, I have other questions that have to do once we raise this issue. Okay, no Ritzia for a Kohen. How about if he sells himself, not as, or he sold because he stole, not for Ritzia, just as a regular Eved Ivri. Is there a din of Shivcha Knaanit on a Kohen? I mean, on the one hand, you could say, look, I mean, nobody's allowed to marry a shivcha. The Torah says that a regular Eved Ivri, who's not a Kohen, can marry a shivcha. That's weird. So once the Torah is matir, an iser, what's the difference? I would say it's matir anyway. Chiddushu, lo shna kohanim, lo shna Yisrael. Or we could say, well, wait a minute. I mean, we know the Torah is always more makbid on any of these sexual issues with a Kohen, and therefore I should say, maybe shiny Kohenim, hovari babem mitzvahs yiseiris. We're more makbid. They have that din, and not allowed to marry Grusha and a Zayna, so maybe we're more makbid on him. And he cannot have a Eved, as an Eved, a Shifra Kanani. Rav says it's mutter, Shmuel says it's asur. So Rav Nachman said to Rav Anan, you know, very cute. Now I know what you guys were doing over there when you were learning by Shmuel. You were playing tiddlywinks, obviously, because you certainly weren't using your brains. So ki avita be mar Shmuel. So when you were sitting there learning by Shmuel, again, I'm curious, was it tiddlywinks or was it cards that you were playing? Biskamudri italalitu. So you were sitting out there, you know, in the porch, and everything was nice. You know, Shmuel's carrying on in the background. You got one of these loudspeakers like in Mir. But meanwhile, everybody's sitting there playing cards, I guess, because you sure are not too intelligent. You should have said right away on the spot, Shmuel, what are you talking about? It's usher for him to have an Shifcha Kanani. Doesn't it say we just had the halacha that an Eved Ivri who's a Kohen, the halacha is that he cannot get Ritzia because he becomes a Balmum? You should have said to Shmuel, if you are right, then this is ridiculous. There's not, the problem is, it'll be a Balmum. The problem is, you cannot be Meratzea him at all because Ein Rabba Moshe lo Shivcha Knanis. According to you, he's not allowed to marry a Shivcha Knanis. Well, when does the mitzvah of Ritzia kick in? Only if he says, Ahavti et Ishti ved Banai. What Ishti u Banai? The Shivcha Knanis. So if he can't say that, then obviously he's never going to be Nirtza. So you, Shmuel, how are you going to explain the fact that the Chachamim have this Kabbalah that ain't Kohen Nirtza because he's going to be Natsav Bamum? A ridiculous statement, according to you. And I got to tell you, and don't try to argue. Vitulo midi. There's nothing further to be said about this except tiddlywinks. Iboilo. What about the din of Yifat Tohar? Now, the Torah does not distinguish between Kohanim or other people. Well, when we have the same kind of question, aren't we usually more makbid on Kohanim with things that are sexual? And therefore, if we're going to be matir the Yifat Tohar, so we have two ways of looking at it. You can say, look, I mean, it's sort of weird that the Torah allows anybody to be taking a woman under those circumstances. So it's a chiddush. It didn't say that there's a difference between a Kohen or a Yisrael, so it should be the same. Or, same question, the Torah has put all these new Isurim on Kohanim, so maybe we're supposed to understand that unless we have an extra special diyuk that a Kohen is mutter, we'd have to assume that the Kohen is Osir. So, Dilma Shani Kohanim Ova Riba Ben Mitzvot Yeterot. Here too, same Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, Rav Amar Mutter, and the Shmuel says Osir. Now, remember that the whole Parsha of Yifas Tohar is split into two parts. There's Viraita Bashivya. So there you are in the Milchama. You take this woman. It's not clear what we're talking about over there. Bichlal, we're going to see now the major Machlokas Rishonim. Anastosis brings the Machlokas in the Yerushalmi Gufa between Amoroim. Are you, the Mashma'ut of the Pasuk is, you are allowed to rape a woman in war once. Then you have to take her, if you want to keep her, you have to take her to your home and you have to let her become a Giora to go through a month worth of psychologically becoming used to the idea, crying, looking ugly, making you miserable. And then if you still want her, so over there, you now are megayer her, bal korcha, with her reluctant approval, and now you could take her as a wife, right? But there's two different issues. Which were we arguing on? Were we arguing about that first rape in the war, or were we talking about the question of whether you're allowed to keep her? So what was the machlok? So bivirishona kulei amalo pligidishari. As far as the initial response to getting turned on by a woman in war, well, then it doesn't make sense to say that the Kohen is not included. Because, look, the Torah was only matir this whole thing in extremis, right? Because the guy is going to do it anyway, which is what we're afraid of. The lo dibra Torah ela keneged yetzer hara. And since Kohanim have the same yetzer hara as anybody else, so if we would tell Kohanim not to do it, we're messing them up. So therefore, for sure, that's got to include Kohanim. So the only question over here is, ki plige b'viyashnia. So by the time he's ready to sleep with her again, so at that point, he no longer has that same intensity of Yetzer Hara. So there, Rav says it's even mutter a second time. Shmuel says, no, it's us. Rav says it's mutter because the Torah, look, the Torah didn't say distinctions. I mean, once the Torah says you're allowed to take her, it's not going to say, well, if you're going, you're allowed to take her. I mean, where are you going to be able to say that? Where Shmuel says, no, because basically the second time she's a Gioret. And we know that a Gioret is not allowed, a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Gioret. So Mimela, now the question is, and this is a very big machlokas here, Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi learns that you are never able to rape a woman in war. There's no such thing, as we'll see in a moment. And therefore, what it's talking about over here is first taking her to your home, and then, if you first take her to your home, says Tosfos, so what are the two stages? I don't understand. If you're first taking her to your home, so by the time you get around to sleeping with her the first time, so she's already a Gioret, so then why are we saying that it's mutter? Not to mention the fact that if you're going to take her to your home and go through a 30-day process, I mean, this is going to do your turn-on a lot of good. You know, like, well, I don't understand. The guy's under pressure. You're saying the Torah's only mutter him because of this pressure. And like 30 days later, yes, siree, now you can go. Like, what? That's a little bit crazy. So then what's the Kenegan Yetzer Hara? If you're not allowed to sleep over there on the spot, I mean, so you're already cooled down, right? And furthermore, I mean, if she's a Gioret, so what's the big deal? If she's a, she's already a Gioret by the time you sleep with her. So why is the saying only Keneged Yetzer Hara? There's no Isser in taking a Gioret. So therefore, Tosis explains that this is ridiculous. Of course, the first Pia is referring to raping her in the context of war. Maybe you have to take her into your home in terms of don't sit there and rape her out in the field. But it doesn't mean that you go through the entire process. And then you go through the process. That's how Tosis learns it. However, Tosis points out that Lamaisa, there are two shitas in the Yerushalmi that are exactly these two shitas. One, the way Rashi is saying, that there never was a heter to rape her in war, and it's only la'achar kol ha'ma'asim, then achar kein tavor aleha ve'alta, but it doesn't say you're allowed to sleep with her before that. And so apparently, there would be, the way to understand it is, that the Torah is giving him a theoretical out. So if a person feels, I'm never going to be able to sleep with this girl, the heck with it, I'll do it now. Fine. But if you say, no, you just have to wait a month. So, okay, wait a month. So that's called pat pesalo. So it works on some level. And as far as we talk about, so if she's a gioret, what's the problem? This is not a normal gioret where she's under pressure like this. So I would have thought you can't do this. And so on. There's many other beautiful issues that Tosafot brings up about Tamar with David HaMelech and what was her mother at the time that was she a dead? She have a din of Yisrael? According to Rashi, how would it have been mutter with Amnon that Tamar says, we are allowed to be married. Why don't you just talk to my dad about it, right? I mean, how are they allowed to be married according to Rashi if she was already Achar Kol HaMaasim? Beautiful, beautiful discussions. Goes a little bit beyond what we can do here today. But in any event, I just want to alert you to the fact that this is not at all an obvious issue. Okay, so let's now take a look at the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. So what are they arguing about, Rav and Shmuel? So we say that it's according to Rav, it's mutter. Shmuel says, only if you're allowed to be a vetel toch betecha. So if you can bring her into your home and marry her, then you say v'ra'ita b'shivya, that if you're turned on by her, you can have her for that first bia. Wherever that is, if you're not going to be able to marry her, and the Kohen's not allowed to marry a Gioret, so then you cannot apply Veraita Bashivya. That's my logic. Tana Rabban. Veraita Bashivya means you have to be turned on by her at the time that you take her. You cannot take a Yafas Toar, where you take in a bunch of captives, you didn't even pay attention to this beautiful girl. She was one of a group of captives you took in. You're going to bring them to the slave market. You want to make money. Nothing to do with sex. Then she's sitting around and she catches your fancy. That doesn't count. It's only if you're turned on at the very time that you're in the milchama and you capture her. Furthermore, when it says eshet with a tuf, that implies she's not an isha yafas toar. She is somebody's eshet. That means even if she's an eshet ish, she's married to a guy. It doesn't matter. You're allowed to take her. And then when it says Yifat Torah, what is that telling you? Why does it have to be beautiful? What if she's not beautiful? The only reason the Torah mentions beautiful is because it's trying to make you understand we're talking about a big turn on over here. We're not talking about a cool decision. We're talking about the beauty turned you on. And therefore, lo dibrela keneged yetzer hara. So that the idea is mutav shel yochlu Yisrael besar to mutot shkutot. Look. If you have an animal that looks very sick, it's about to die, and you shecht it. So theoretically, it's kosher. And that's what Yecheskel said, but I never, ever put such a thing into my mouth. Okay, because it's disgusting, and you're not supposed to do that. But in this case, it's better to eat. It's basar, that at least it was shechted while it was alive, and don't eat basar t'mutot that actually died, that's an avela. And then when it says v'chashakta, then it's coming to say, look, she doesn't really have to be beautiful. It's just that you were turned on. So that's okay. Whatever turns you on, that's not my business. Afa pisha ain't a nush. Doesn't really need to be objectively beautiful. And then when it says v'chashakta ba, you can be turned on by her and you can take her, but you can't take two. You can't take her and somebody else. So this is only one. And then it says v'lakakta. Whoa, lakakta in the context of Masechet Kiddushin. Oh my God, what does that mean? Kiyika, kicha, kicha, stay Ephron, Kiddushin. Oh my God. Yes, indeed. That's exactly what it means. If it says lakachta, likuchin yesh lechaba. This means that you have the right to actually be mekadosher, leisha, and it means lecha leisha. This means you cannot take two women. And we know you can't take two women. Yeah, we know you can't take two women for yourself, bavalo b'chaverta. But suppose you say, you know what? Dad is in need of a wife. You know, mom died years ago. Let me take one of them for him, you know? Or I got a kid that he's never been able to find a Jewish girl. Let me bring him a Goyish girl. Maybe that'll turn him on. You can't do that either. You can't take Achad Lov, Achad Laviv, Achad Lov, Achad Livno, and it's only for you. Beheveta el toch betecha means you cannot rape her in the wars, what it seems to be saying. So that Rashi learns beferish, that that's what it means. Rashi is saying you cannot sleep with her. Doesn't mean she has to go through the whole thing in your house. Okay, that's one possibility. The other possibility is that you can't sleep with her out there like she's an animal. You take her into your home and treat her nicely.